Hello there, listeners out there. You with AKA The House, with along with Mick Raines, the Stream Steaming Podcast. Today we've got a doozy for you. We're brought in the big guns today to have a chat with. And today we've got new president for 2024, Mr. Tom Harrington. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, House.
Welcome, Tom.
Good to be here.
So, Tom, let's dive straight in. So, we paint us a picture of what brought you to the Steamers. When was that?
I came down to school here at Scots as a boarder.
Of course, the private school boy.
Private school boy.
And you played rugby before you got
here? Yeah, I grew up in a little town called Yalgoggan, which is 45, 50 k's west of Westwala.
What's that, wheat farming out
there?
Yeah,
wheat and sheep. So it was mainly rugby league up there. A lot of my junior years were rugby league, and then we came down here for school and come down to Aussie Rules land.
How come you came this way and not head towards
Mum and Dad were pretty well in the middle of a drought. School was a 60k drive sort of thing, and I was going to Sydney, but when we're not making money on the farm, that had to bloody...
Scots is a bit cheaper than...
I was going to Shore. But that didn't happen. So anyway, we come down to Aussie Rules land, and first thing I looked for was a rugby team. And back then, we had La Trobe Uni, the Wedgies and Steamers. Actually started with La Trobe. Scots had a bit of affiliation back then.
So were you alongside John McMillan?
Johnny was a little bit older than me, but he was spoken about, John.
Oh, yeah?
And slowly, but he was there.
So there was no juniors if you're at Scots, there was no juniors there for you?
No juniors.
So you just had to man up and play big boy rugby?
Yeah, I had to stick into the... Had year 11 and 12 boys dragged us out. Had a mate from Ginderbine who coaches Ginderbine now. He, Stephen Clem, he and I went and played the La Trobe and the Wedgies. And then the Wedgies folded and we all went to the Steamers.
So what year was that?
Now that would have been... about 92, 93. I come to school down here in 90. No, 80, 80, 89, 90, something like that.
Righto.
And then, started the Steamers about 94, I think it was. We started with the Steamers.
Did they have...
Geez, I was only fifth form at boarding school.
It was good times. It was interesting. It was good to have Aubrey have two sides running around.
Who was the coaching when you first turned up?
Oh, shit. To be honest, I can't really remember who was coaching. I was more interested in chasing girls and drinking beer than Mick. Was just a
any
fella
luck,
you took orders
any luck
from.
With beer or girls?
Ah, wouldn't say luck. Just a job. Nah, it was good fun. And living in the boarding house, we snuck out a lot.
So when you finished at Scott, so that's the early 90s, did you stay in Albury?
No, I went Jackaroo and went out to Deniliquin, and that's where I played my 3 years out there with Denny, playing rugby out there as a Jackaroo, and Jackarooed on Bunnik Wanganella.
So what were you doing out at Denny?
Jackarooing. So working on a farm out there, sheep farm.
Yeah. It's Australian.
Australian too. Yeah. Sorry.
As a young fella, yeah. So
in New Zealand, it's called hunting for a wife. But anyway.
With gloves.
Hey.
But I totally enjoyed Denny. And then, we had a bit of a family bloody mishap back in the day, and I decided to come home and help Mum and Dad. And
what happened?
Oh, I lost my little sister.
Really?
She had a bit of an accident out of a tree and hit her head on a rock, and that was that. So she was 8. And
it's a hard switch.
Kicking the guts. Yeah. Kicking the guts. And we've managed. And
how many... brothers and sisters?
Two younger brothers I got. Richard played the Steamers when he was a young fella.
Did he go to Scots as well?
Yeah, we all went through.
We all went to Scots.
Yeah. And then...
So that was the late 90s then?
Yeah, pretty well, mate.
And you went to the... Where was the family farm at this stage? West of Westmorland?
Yeah, out at Yalgoggan. We were just in the part of selling it, probably 98, I think, Dad. 99, pretty well got out of it then. And I was back in Albury here, and... We had a business, Mum and Dad and I, got into a business called The Rockyard.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with Dad and Mum for, it was about 8 years or so, seven years or something like that, and fought and, our families go.
I don't know if I could
do 8 years.
It wasn't
a day where it wasn't colourful, so.
You would have been sponsoring the Steamers,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we were, mate. Yeah, well, back in 99, we were major sponsors with, other families that were like, you know, Mickey Alexander and Jeffo and Snap Green, Barlow's, and you know, we were at the,
where were they drinking?
Which I think we were at Soden's at that time. Soden's, we were poking about Soden's, and
okay. And were you playing then? So you've come back and from you've been working on the family farm out of West Wylam.
Yeah, no, never went back home. We sort of we were in the process of selling. I was out of Denny, came home.
All right.
And 98 then, I was back and started back with the Steamers 98 sort of.
So 99's a good year to start with the Steamers.
Yeah, well, we had a cracking year. I was sitting on the bench most of that year. We had some pretty good talent in front of me, like there was some.
And what position are you?
I was playing number 6 or 7 and 8, sometimes Darley.
Who was sitting in front of you?
Aaron Davis.
Oh, Aaron, Nick Davison, and he was pretty bloody good, Nick. Charles, he was poking about then, and had some real, you know, Jock, he was always there, hooking around the sides.
So you're always...
so you sort of, you had some talent in front of you, and I was lucky enough to be in that area where 99, 2000,
I reckon your name's up on a couple of jumpers out there.
Yeah, I think
that. So how did you snag that? So how did that pan out? If you're sitting on the bench for both years?
Yeah, for both years. I got a run in 2000 for the last 5-10 minutes, which is good.
But didn't you start in both games?
No, I never.
You didn't start?
I was on the bench, mate.
For both grand finals?
Yeah, both, yeah. We were in the grand final for seconds in 99, so I started that.
Oh, okay. How'd you go on that?
We lost.
Who to?
I think it was Rivcott. Could have been.
Just a standard? I know the Reddies get through about... They were on about 8 second grade premierships through the 90s because they sort of loaded up one
grade. Yeah, Hoodie was fine.
Hoodie, they had some pretty quality players.
Me mate Hoodie. But, they were good years, those 99, 2000. We had a really good year, a couple of years, not 2001, 2, 3, 4. 04 was the grand final that we should have won. That was the best grand final that...
Is that the one? Japanese breakaway beat you?
No, that was against Waratahs up there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was when Haber was coaching up there, and he tells me every time I see him, the bugger, that it was the best grand final I think I was involved with, and we had some really good players then.
And what position were you playing then?
I was sitting out in the wing.
Yeah?
Can you believe it? Yeah, I got really shafted right out the back, but
is that where most of the points got leaked out on the wing?
Yeah, I don't have anything. I saw the ball here. I had to go looking for it. But Footy was coaching, and we had, he had the likes of Belly and Aaron Davis.
So they would have been at the ends of their careers.
They were, mate. I think we were all sort of getting close.
So 99, 2000 was that same sort of team.
Yeah, it was.
This is like 4 or 5 years later. Yeah. So it was two more grand finals, 2004.
Yeah, so three, and then three were close. Four... We should have won that, and then 5. Well, sort of.
I think that was the Japanese breakaway.
Yeah, we'd had enough.
You'd had enough.
Yeah.
But
was that when you finished?
Yeah, playing? I pretty well got. I'd had a gut full at 05.
Yeah.
And then we moved away for a few years. Tish and I got married and moved away.
Where'd you guys move to?
Yeah, to farm other side of Tokemo.
All right.
Yeah. Went working out there on a farm, and it was
How old are you then? By the time
I would have been
2004, 2005,
27, something like that.
Just a whoopersnapper. Yeah,
just a whoopersnapper. I went out a run with Denny again. I went out and had a bit of a snip, but I'd had enough footy for a while.
Yeah.
Wanted a break and started having kids, and that's where we're at.
And then, so you didn't really play rugby again. So when did you come back to Auburn?
So we came back in 2013, something like that. 2012, I think it was. And
out to Culpeper.
With kids, tabletop, and we had children, and now we live out of Culpeper, and we're pretty well involved with now, obviously. But
so what were you back into the club?
Would have been back in the juniors, mate, in 2013. I think when Harry started in the tugboats. So the little fellas were running around.
And that's when the juniors had only sort of just really started to kick off, or they've been going for years?
No, juniors have been going for a while then. Yeah.
Okay. But I think that's like that, where they really kicked into life, though.
Pretty much,
You know, like where they started to generate a bit more juniors. And...
Yeah, mate, I think the older juniors had a good period of probably 3 or 4 years before that. Like Aaron was Davis coached a few boys, and there was a few years before that.
That's right, Aaron and Don took over, though, in 2006 or 2007, that... that under 16 type
group. And it was good to see Aaron running around, like he and missing from the club, but he's got other things going on. But valuable member.
It's like all
kids say now, they move on to, because I know his boys are into mountain biking and stuff like that now.
That's it.
So were you coaching the
Hugh Satchel and I, we started the tugboats together, and he had his young fella Wilbur in there, and I had Harry, and geez, we could have won premierships then. We had a really good side, talented young kids, a couple of young fellas from Holbrook. And
Yeah, had a couple of good boys, eh?
Yeah.
Old Ned.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I always blame Ned for the 2014 grand final loss for the old under-12s, I think it was. When Sean had the team, Sean Scanlon had the team.
Yeah,
went to kick the ball out. This young Cootamundra guy just put his hand up, and the ball landed straight in the kid's hand, and fell over the line and scored.
How could you bring that up? This poor kid just trying to.
Oh, he just goes, house. Yeah, probably, what?
He's turned off. Now.
He just switched his podcast off. He threw his phone out the window.
But Satch and I did it for a few years, and then I let someone else have a go. And
then you had a few years sort of break. And then,
had a few years break, and then we came back in 2019 with Harry in the 14s and 16s. 16s mainly.
Yeah.
I just had to correct Johnny too in 2021. We were in the grand final, and COVID buggered us. We were confident of beating Griffith that year.
Yeah.
We didn't get the chance, but the next year, Johnny and I was head coach, and Johnny was managing, and we got him.
I remember that 1 year you got him.
Yeah,
for sure.
2022, mate. We lost them all year, and most of the clubs did around in the comp.
Yeah, yeah.
And we smoked them in the last game, mate. It was one of the best feelings I think I've ever had.
Where was that?
That was up in Grenfell.
I never understand why
the bloody hell we had to go to Grenfell. Like, not even part of the. I mean, they're part of the junior comp, but no,
that's okay.
Anyway,
well, they used to be part of the comp.
Absolutely.
Well, it was,
but it goes in alphabetical order.
It did at the time, did it?
Still does, yeah. So they pick it. This year, I think it's Griffith. All the finals were at Griffith.
Okay, yep.
So that was probably the best thing in rugby for me, for Harry and the team of 16s beating Griffith up there.
Who was in that 16s team? Do you remember?
We had young Ben Duzik. We had a young fella, Harvey from up at Cairns.
Oh, yeah, the midfielder I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Best pass I've ever seen for a young kid.
Yeah.
So.
He, lovely kid.
Yeah.
Johnny McMillan, young fella, Tommy. Young Benno was in it. Harry.
Which Benno? Will?
Young Will.
Yeah.
Will's going well. And we were just... You know, I could name everyone if I could bloody remember.
Was Noah in that team?
Noah was in that team.
Yeah. So is that the Stead?
Yeah, young Steady.
What about the other Noah, the prop?
Oh, no, he wasn't. No, he was in the 14s green final, the 16s. Yeah. Yeah. But he's back. He's back. He's back. He's going to have a run of the Colts.
Good on him.
Which is great.
Yeah, good kid, that kid.
Yeah.
But that Colt, that grand final, mate, geez, I can still smell it.
Yeah. You got a jumper at home?
Johnny got some bloody shirts made up.
Oh, nice.
Still smell it.
Yeah.
It's like Mick in his 2015 premiership. Still talks about it, but I don't know what he did that day.
Well, as a coach, I must admit, like, I did my level 2 coaching course there a couple of years ago, and well, I think it was with you, Alfred.
Yeah, it was.
And, when you learn how to do it, and you do it, and you think you're doing it right, you question yourself. But when you get a premiership, you go, "We got it."
No, it's I've mentioned this before, but I've got no illusions on where I stand as a coach.
Yeah,
like I was a manager.
Yeah,
you know, and you get strict good coaches like Footy and Aaron and guys like that are actual coaches.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
I know where I stand, so I'm comfortable with that.
I had a cracking coach when I first came here, Kenny Phillips. Ken Phillipson really. I think he grounded me a lot.
I think those solid coaches through the juniors are critical. Like it's they've got to be learning catch, pass, tackle, positioning.
This is where they're like the Hoggies, you know.
Hoggy's been fantastic for the club. You know, with the juniors, I know sometimes you wonder if his tactics are right, and I'll be honest with that. But what he's done for the club and the juniors,
the juniors, the sevens, the touch sevens, he's playing like he's
Yeah. I've played a lot of rugby with Hoggy, and
it's a family contribution.
Yeah.
But you know what? People want, like, you know, people like us want rugby players now, but we've got to build them to be rugby players.
Senior coaches aren't really looking back at juniors going.
We want.
I like the under-14s because that's, you know, they're 7, 8, 9 years away.
Paul Massari coaches through those years where we should have won that one in 2004. And I think that one still hurts us all, but he was one of the best coaches I've had.
Him
and Kenny, like, cracking fellas. And they just got us together. You know, like, we played as a team. There were no individuals. Mm. There were some bloody good players. Like, you know, you talk about Charles Kay that was running around. Like, that fella, he was an Australian squads boy. Like, he was a
player. We're gonna come back to your choice on players in a minute.
We had some talent running around those years.
And then you can't name yourself, too. You've come back from the that juniors coaching and stuff like that, had a bit of a layoff again, and now you stepped into club president this year.
Yeah, I have, mate. I got back on the committee last year, and I just thought it was probably time for me to give a bit back.
Yeah. Good timing. It's where you're at the right place. Yeah.
Got plenty going on, like business and everything. We got plenty going on, but I think we'll find the time.
It's funny. I heard Mick Redfern's back in the fold, and my approach with Mick Redfern, there's an analogy that you give a busy man a job,
and it'll
get done. And are you in that position?
Well, like, Mick's an interesting cat. Like, he loves to be busy.
And Mick,
that's the way he thrives. And
is that where you're at as well? You've got a lot on your plate, so you just keep moving.
If I'm sitting around thinking, I'll probably, you know,
another business.
You just think of doing other things.
We bought another business. Yeah.
But you surround your people with that. Like, Mick, I'm thankful that he's helping out the Colts this year. And credit to him, he's got plenty going on. But he's passionate about the club, and that's one beauty about the steam. Is like, even you to yourself, you know, like, you still want to help. And this is doing this is a.
We'll see. The jury's out on the podcast.
Well, you talk about Mick Redfern because, you know, he been like Harry got sent away. Well, not get sent away. Sorry, Mick, I shouldn't say that. He went off to boarding school, and then, you know, we sort of lost Mick there for a little bit, because I remember having him in 2013 as our manager, 13 and 14 as our manager. And, you know, like you said, boom, everything was there already. And then now that young Angus has come home, you know, now Mick, you know, he's back in the frame, and it's great to see a guy like him pushing up those young kids, you know, like, obviously trying to engage, you know, young Angus to get back in there, maybe a Baxter Bright if you're listening, Nathan, you know, so
Baxter needs to get back in there, and he will,
you know, stuff like that, you know, so having Mick back is probably real good for those young kids, isn't it?
I wouldn't hold my hope out for Baxter. I don't think he's good enough.
Well, you know,
I've laid it down for you.
If he's like his dad, you never know what could happen. Like.
He's a lot like his dad.
It could happen.
So what can we look forward to from you for president? What's the club got cooking this year?
There's always things cooking in the back of the, you know.
Give us some secrets. Give us some insights.
I suppose what we're trying to do is get a bit of culture back into the club, build our name. We've sort of lost that identity a bit. We've got.
What do you mean by that? John McMillan touched on that too. So
you don't see us. You don't see our name around town as much as we used to. Like, I know TV's changed and you got the internet and all that stuff going on, but I suppose we've been a bit lazy and not promoting our club better than what we should be. We haven't had the right. Oh, look, I shouldn't say that. We're always looking to promote it, because when that's happening, people want to be involved. But the thing that's bugging us at the moment is the Wallabies aren't winning.
The
Wallabies aren't winning, you're going to find it hard.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go a bit off reservation here. The Wallabies weren't winning in 2000. They've been winning for a long time. And I think it's more about when we're winning.
Yeah.
When the club's winning, like, you know, and I don't think it matters whether it's the juniors are winning or the women's team or the first grade. if we've got some sort of winning culture going somewhere within the club, we can build on that.
Yeah, you touched on it back in, 99, 2000, when guys were going good. And I said this to Mick when we were talking to John, like when I arrived in 2012, 13, 14, 15, like you said, we were all over the paper, all over the TV.
Yeah, it's an easy advert.
Did you guys see that? You see that? Yeah,
it's gone quiet for sure. It's gone quiet, and
how we change that, I'm not 100% sure. And it's a slow process.
It could be a bit of a chicken and the egg. I mean, like Howe said, you had two TV reports this week.
Yep.
So people like Steve Murphy, fantastic, great. Steve.
They want to help.
They want to help. So he's going to play Steve Murphy one day.
Oh, he'll punt the hell out of the Steamers. Like he's very passionate about the Steamers.
So it's a chicken and the egg thing too. Yeah. We start promoting the club, people will find out, hear about us.
Because we're not all experts on advertising and doing it. And at the end of the day, you can put Facebook page, whatever you call them.
Your social media. IQ is not that high.
Yeah, I don't have one.
I think what needs to probably happen over the last 2 years when I've been in charge of the team, that you're getting phone calls from Wagga Radio and they actually sort of like talking to you, where probably our own 2AY needs to have a Saturday morning sports. AFL. But let's talk about the hockey, let's talk about something, let's talk about the steam, like fill an hour get a half an hour talking, we're here with the president.
It's just a massive fall from grace rugby. We can go, I don't know if you've ever heard that podcast, I can't even remember what it's called, but anyway, they talk about how where rugby was with so much money in the bank and all of a sudden she's just all dwindled and gone.
Mm.
And then all that money they've taken away from promotional work through rugby, you don't even see rugby on TV being promoted in any way or form.
It's all pay TV.
You can't even watch it on bloody free to air.
The problem is Stan is providing the money that's keeping the Wallabies alive.
Yeah. So anyway, look,
what's got coming this year? So
talk us through
our club, the playing groups. What have we got?
Well, we've got first grade, obviously. We're looking all right, the first. We've got a good... Yeah. We're getting a good 30 down there to training. And I think there's probably five or six that probably should start turning up.
Yeah.
And training.
Yeah, Luke Rainer, if you listen. Yeah.
Don't dob on anyone.
Yeah. I mean, there's some boys out there that probably just, they might be doing the old first frost thing like I used to, and they'll come along. But second grade, we've got our, obviously, a high impact of Islanders again this year, which is fantastic, and we need them in the club. Colts, I think this will be the first year that the club will run a Colts in terms of we'll run the Colts in a third grade competition against the rest of the clubs in the Riverina. So
this is what John was saying the other day. It's not a dedicated Colts competition.
No,
but we've got Colts players. We'll as a club, we'll run them to third grade.
Yep.
Which is a great idea.
Yeah.
And you think you'll prop them up with a few old boys and stuff?
Yeah.
So what, the return of Tom Harrington?
House and I.
The return of Tom Harrington.
Jesus Christ. No. Look, we went to Southern Inland there about 6 months ago, and I saw the need being coaches of 16s for the last 2 years. We're losing our juniors, and it's been the case for a long time. So had a good chat with Jack, and we initiated the idea of running with Colts, and hopefully Griffith will come on board next year. They're nearly close this year, I think, very close. Obviously, Ag College, you've got young fellas in that side. Waratahs, we'll see what happens.
I think it's probably Wagga City, maybe Tumut might throw a bunch of old heads there in that grade.
They had a 17. Under 17 comp many years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they're under 16, under 17. But it's the same with any sport. Like the 16, 17 year old boys and girls get so different priorities.
Yeah, Central West are doing it. Central West this year are actually running Colts. So we've got to start. Someone's got to start. Yeah. If they can do it, then surely we can do it down here.
So
if you build, they will come.
Yeah, I think
if you build it, they will come. Well done. I think that's for you as president, if at the end of 2 or 3 years, that would be something you could hang your hat on.
Absolutely.
You know, the Colts in third grade is a big achievement.
Mate, it's not got... Look, I'm helping guide it, and I suppose I'm got a good coach there. Nick Redfern's really pushing it. And look, you got to have the right people drive it, and he's the right fella to do it. He wants to do it, so...
So yeah, if we can walk away in 3 years, Nick, and...
That's a very good thing to hang out on. What players? Give us, if you've got some players' names we should look out for.
I had a couple, but a couple of them got lame. One of them bloody done his back, and I had my heart set on Jaden, but Jaden's gone lame on me, so he'll be back next year, but
What happens when he plays for Holbrook, for a footy teammate.
His brother Dylan, I've got hopes for Dylan to really have a crack. He's a kid that the Brumbies had him scouted as a 14, 15 year old.
Mm.
And he's got all the talent in the world. He's just got to get going. Yeah. And when he's fit, he'd be the best prop in the comp.
All right, let's
say Dylan's my call. Dylan, well, and I'd like to see Toby Sarkis on the side of the scrum number 7.
Oh, tell me about it. We all want to see that.
He's going to play number 7, and if he doesn't, I'll kick him fair up the... But how much influence do you have now, talk to us about your new coach.
How much influence do you have in that?
Oh, I don't have a lot of influence over Red. Oh, he's a Kiwi. You don't have any influence over those buggers.
He's a Kiwi. I didn't know that.
And he's going well, but...
How has he settled in?
Good, mate. Yeah, he's going well. He's really just... probably taking a bit of a lead role and not letting too much stuff get away at training. It's straight up. There's only one chance, if you're going to cock around and go and do laps.
So he's straight down the line as a coach?
Yeah, he's an old school coach.
Oh, good.
Old school coach, and I think that's good.
And where did he come from here? Where was he the last couple of years?
So we obviously, as you know, this is the first year the Steamers have paid for a coach. And that
I'll
leave you one anything else.
It was all for love. And we've gone out on a limb to do that.
I think
we needed to try something different. Will it work? We'll see. I think he come from, obviously, New Zealand fella. Spent a bit of time up at Inverell. Then he went to Sydney.
Subbies?
So yeah, I think you're right. I'd be lying if I knew everything about him.
No, that's all right.
We had a coaching committee that picked him. Obviously, yep. Donnie and Footy and Bridey were all involved with that, and they came to a proposal that let's give him a go, and we backed that, and we backed those blokes 100%.
And he's so far so good.
Yeah.
Are we going to be able to get him on a podcast?
Absolutely.
Here? All right.
He doesn't talk much. He's a bit of a grunter.
We'll get it out of him.
He's a bit of a grunt, but...
Want to catch it back to the juniors. I've been in the club for a pretty long time, and probably last year was the first time we actually seen juniors make their way up into the first grade.
It's the first time. So we've talked about this before, where we saw the 2006 and 7 juniors... They were a big part of the 12, 13, 14 success. So the LeCorners and Liam Krauts and Tommy Rowan, and all that crowd. And then there's a few, like I think it's JP Meinhardt and the Devlin boys that went off elsewhere. So we've had that sort of phase happen before. Are you wondering if that phase is about to happen again?
Well, hopefully. Yeah, that's what I'm sort of going to argue, with the Sarkis, young Harry, young Drew,
Noah,
those boys are starting to come through. And
Tommy McMillan,
hoping for those younger other juniors to say, well, those boys are doing it.
I think that's been the problem with our club, is that the juniors coming out of juniors into seniors, it's a big step straight in a grade, and a lot of them aren't ready for that.
No.
You got to...
I don't know.
Well, there are kids. I'm not saying.
I think some of them can just step straight up and you just go, look, come on, let's get them, fire them straight up.
Spot on.
But there's also, you miss a big cohort in the middle there.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it's intimidating to go up against some of the fellas that you go up against. You know, when you're coming out of under 16s in the grade,
and you're playing five Legale brothers up in Melbourne City in third grade. No.
And mums and dads don't like seeing that.
No, no one wants to see it. No.
So, yep, absolutely, there are some kids that do it. Like young Harry, he went all right last year in his first game as a six. You know, he's 16, but that's pretty rare, I would have thought. I don't think we've had too many Steamers.
There's a lot of dispensation needed for that to happen.
So, yeah, look, the Colts, I just hope, you know, if you go back to what you're saying, Mick, about what we want to do as next 4 or 5 years, that's probably my main goal.
Yep.
Second goal is the women's. We didn't have women's last year, and you know, we're trying hard. We've got
how many players we've got?
Well, mate, we got 8 to training there on Tuesday. There's another 7 down there tonight.
So is that 15 all up, or 8 of the same ones?
Yeah. But is that? I'll count them twice.
Yeah, I'd call
but
it
15. Like, right, 15 or 15 sort of on the books.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it, you might have 15 on the books, but at the moment, only sort of 8 can show up the training because of other work commitments or too hot, working on their tans. Sorry, ladies.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you take it back, 2022,
yep,
when the girls were at the top, and then COVID came. And,
that was the,
you know, it was probably going to be the year without going to go on and have a good chance of the big dance. And then,
yeah, it was probably the most heartbreaking thing I've seen in Steamers rugby.
Yeah,
but so you've given us your player watch. You've given us the hopes for the different squads and whatnot this year. What about our social calendar? What are we looking at?
So we're trying to get a sports person's lunch thing here at Brady's sort of mid-year.
Yep.
Can we run
a podcast from that?
Yeah. Oh, can't say why not. We're looking at a you know, guest speaker.
Yeah.
Upstairs, it might be a small thing, but
it doesn't need to be big.
Yeah, there's always those functions, you know, you're down at the ground, your sponsors' day, you know, life members' day. We need to celebrate life members a little bit more.
So what are your life members in the first home game?
Yeah, well, we haven't really even got the bloody draw yet, Nick. Can you believe it? Like, Deniliquin decided to pull out there a couple of days ago, so they've had to.
Oh, now they're out.
Yeah, so
they've been, don't knock Denny.
Be careful.
Denny are always the same.
Anyway, they've had the change, so we'll get the draw. Look, Jack could have sent an email in the last couple
so
of days.
So you were having 18 games, so that's going to go down to 16 probably.
And I just hope Leighton can do it, but we'll see.
You talked about a luncheon. I remember back in 2014, we had a luncheon up at the Albion.
Yep.
And Ryan Cross was our guest speaker. Yeah. You know, and that was a great afternoon, Friday afternoon. Yeah. You know, carrying Brighty out as always. You know, but
let's not throw people under the bus here.
He's worth it.
But that's what you know. Sort of neat, probably know something
and that's part of it, mate. Look, we even thought about, we are still talking about having a season opener lunch.
Yeah,
like getting a guest speaker to do that to open the
classic. Well, if the classic Wallabies still are a thing, they provide a lot of speakers, a lot of support for stuff like that.
We don't want Tim Gavin again, do we?
Yeah, we definitely do.
So there's options there. We're probably a little bit slack in the last few years with our social stuff, but
let's be honest, it's
been hard to get going again. Like, I'm not blaming bloody COVID. Like, it is what it was, but it's all about the people that want to drive it, and I've got a really good committee at the moment, and we're all trying.
So we're looking at the standard days, the life members day, the sponsors day,
ladies day.
I mean, Mick Alexander's got another reunion coming up.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, would you be part of that? You'll be part.
I don't know which one's this one. This is one every week.
25 years for 1999.
Yeah, I'll be there.
We just got a surprise guest going to ask a few questions.
Oh yeah.
Nathan Bright's dropped in. Like to say hello, Brody.
Hello, everybody.
How are you, mate?
Yeah. Pull up a seat.
Interviewing the legend. Doing a quick stop in to say hi before I get pizzas on the way home.
What question should we ask? What question do you want to ask Tom while we've got him on the spot?
Most memorable moment off the field.
Off the field?
Off the field. I feel like you've got a memory.
Nope.
Oh, right.
Probably coming home from Griffith, I reckon, one night in a bus with you, and we left you behind. It was at Lockhart, I think it was.
Probably with no clothes on.
And we drove all the way home, and you weren't there. And we didn't really worry.
All right, see you all later.
I feel like
you made it home.
No, that was just a quick intervention from our life member and Skip, Nathan Bright. So where were we up to?
I think we were talking about social functions.
Look,
we'll try and, we're trying hard to get it sorted. We just got to get the draw.
You need the draw, 100%. Yeah, because then you book the venue here.
So it's getting late, mate, because we're only really another month away before, what are we, 18th, I think, April in. Game starts, so
7th of April,
something like that.
Yeah, are you going to have another ladies' day down at the ground? Where
would you like to have one?
Where we just stayed at the ground that night?
Would you like to have one?
I'd like to stay.
Why are you involved in the ladies' day?
Well, because that's when we did it last year. We had ladies' day, we stayed at the ground.
Would you like to help us organize that?
Well, I don't know if the ladies would love me organizing it, because that night we were at the ground, it was a great night,
Yeah, it was a good night.
Yeah.
It was a good night. And look, our plan is as a committee to use our club rooms more.
It's a fine balance, eh? You've got a sponsor here at Brady's.
Absolutely. They're fantastic.
They provide a large amount of money, a large amount of support, and they're sort of saying, one hand say, yep, we're happy for you to kick at the ground, but you've also got to show patronage. Now, on that, the patronage hasn't been great.
No, it hasn't.
Where do you think that sits? Where would that sit with you?
It annoys me. I mean,
how do you change it?
Oh, geez, mate.
Well, what do you need to change?
How do you change it? Look, there's a few ways you could do it, but the days are gone where you can go to a pub, have a few beers, and drive home. Yeah, I mean, we do it, and most of us get away with it, but. There's so many other things.
Let's be clear, I don't do that.
I mean, a lot of us live out of town too.
No one's advocating for drink driving, all right?
Don't go down that path.
So,
how do you change it? It's about trying to get the people down here for dinners and, we've got the juniors involved too with the Bradys this year, which hopefully that'll help us build numbers down here. We've got cards now that with Harvest Gold where we can use our cards up in Wagga. And you're right, Nick, we've got to show Brady's that, and that's the only way we're going to do it is they keep a track of what's going on.
So the new membership cards, new social membership cards will be branded.
That's it.
Steamers, but they're also loyalty cards for Brady's.
Spot on.
So things like, I think we talked about this
the other day.
You
talk about...
you get the members draw on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Here. Which is now up to nearly $2,500.
Yeah, so it's worth us coming down.
I mean,
we can only push it so much. It's up to our members.
You can't drive around and drag people. Yeah.
But talking about grabbing, coming down after the games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you'd understand, and Mick, you'd understand, it comes down to... a winning attitude, like you said, if the club was winning, everyone would be here.
It's a bit easier.
We were at our old sponsor, the Albion, we were winning, we were there every Saturday.
Yeah.
Always sort of packed there, good, always there, but we haven't had a winning cult team here for a while.
But it's a chicken and the egg thing too. Once you start socialising together, and this is the thing that coaches like footy and whatnot look at, once you start socialising together, you play for each other.
But that's something
the Fijians and the Samoans, they were happy to go home and drink their cava, but they won't come here and have a beer, no matter how many times we drilled it into them last year. And then they do come down and you have speeches and then
They're on limited budgets, so it's $10 a beer.
That's what we're sort of dealing with, So then you have.
Do you think the club could do something like on random home game nights, put money over the bar for players for home games, where beers are $5 a beer.
I'll tell you what. We'll ask the new coach, eh?
Beers aren't getting any cheaper, are they?
They've just gone up to
just going up again, and that hurt, that one.
So how much was your schooner?
That was $9.49
for a schooner.
Could have rounded up to $9.50, but...
then you're looking at people coming down, families and that.
yeah, you know, look, absolutely, Brady's are fantastic, and they will be for a long time. I mean, the problem with the Steamers over the last 20 years is we've been a bit of a bar harlot. We go from bloody one pub to the next, and you know, we've lost our, that's where I'm getting back to our identity.
We should,
you know, my opinion as president, I'd stick to one spot.
We've got the jumpers up here.
Stop bloody changing.
We've got the jumpers up here. We can get the photos in front of them.
Sponsorship, you know, look, we're pushing. You know, look, it's a big job.
It's a hard job. And it falls on. For me, I found it fell on the president a lot to make the phone calls, to build the relationships, to do a lot of that.
It's a bit of a thankless job too, eh?
Yeah. We've got some cracking sponsors, mate. Like, and we've got some good ones on
the
board.
So we've got the same. There's always been the five. Yep. Five big ones with Johnson's, Brady's, Mick, HIV, Family Vet Centre, Don, DC Law.
What Donny gives to the club, a lot of people don't understand, but Jesus, you know, take my hat off to him.
Outside of those, the big regulars, we've got the muffin breaks and all those sort of next level down.
If you're looking for a breakfast combo West End Plaza?
Who's come on board this year, the last couple of years?
Got Road Rubber, Brettie O'Brien. Road Rubber, he's a tyre joint down in South Aubrey.
Oh, I need some new tyres.
Yeah, get down and see Brettie. He's a good local family business.
Oh, and a wheel balance.
He doesn't know much about rugby, but he can fish, he reckons. So Brettie's a good fellow. Good family. Yeah. Aubrey Fastener Specialist, Tony Ferris.
Oh, is that the one in South Aubrey?
Yeah,
or the
that's
one
it. Down the end. So, they've got two shops, one up north and downstairs. So he's young fella Ryan, he's back playing with us again. So they're a good rugby family. And
they just bought that business, eh?
No, that's been down there a long time.
We've put you on the spot for the names of sponsors. You're going to walk away from here and go, geez, I forgot that.
No, I don't think so. Well, I'm sort of trying to remember them all. And
so many to remember, Well,
Tisha and I were putting in a bit, like Mini Creets and Riverine Sporting. We're chucking in again this year. Like, we're
boosting your own wheels, pumping your own tyres.
I don't want any more bloody work, that's
sure. So, I hear you got a big project going on down at Alexandra Park there.
Yeah.
You want to tell our listeners to the new project you got?
Oh, yeah, building that oval down there on the old tip.
Will the Steamers benefit from
that? I think they will, mate. I think we're the only club in Albury that I can think of that have to move to do their pre-season.
Yeah.
And that's bloody annoying. We're all sick of it. We hate it. Yeah. It's been like that for years.
So you think we could do our pre-season?
We'll do pre-season on that.
That'd be cracking.
Yeah, so it'll be a good setup. I mean,
nice.
It's an $8 million project that the council are putting into that ground. Yeah. Like, and it's not going to be something to sneeze at. It'll be a state-of-the-art setup.
So you like have like big gym in there?
Well, yeah, there's nothing
like cold pools, like the AIS. And,
It'll be nice.
You'll have access to the lock-up sheds at Murrayfield and stuff.
So there's no sheds going up at all?
No, but you'll be able to get scrum machines. Absolutely. You'll be able to get kit bags and stuff out of the existing sheds because it's only a walk across.
Spot on. So we've got plans to buy a little bloody Kubota and a trailer and drag everything out on game day.
Well, I think Sam Giblin has been shopping for a Kubota for a decade.
Yeah, we'll find one.
Yeah, that's good.
So no, look, I'll try and think of all the sponsors and I'm probably going to miss a few.
No, that's good. We hope you
put me
some
on the spot there.
You missed Riffline Flooring.
There's a staunch ones like, you know, Donny Cameron.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who has come back on Pete Collier.
He bought footy's
business out.
Yeah. Now Pete, and what's their business?
So that's River Arena Podiatry.
So you're gonna get Pete to play?
So Pete and I played a lot of rugby together back in the day and he was a little bit, you know, like probably didn't get much out of his sponsorship last year or the year before and
Did you get the tape off him?
No, he's cash only with Pete.
He's
a Tullymore boy. He's a cash one.
North
of Condo, mate. That's all they deal with.
You need
cash
to get the tape.
Benny Banduzic, he's on board.
And
they're a fantastic sponsor. And
that's Amanda, the pharmacy.
Yeah, well, the two farmers. Well, Amanda's and Ben's got his own. Amanda's got hers. And
oh, nice.
So look.
So all right, we'll let you off the hook on the sponsors.
Yeah,
come back to that.
I'll come back to it.
We're starting to wind up.
Yeah,
we've asked a few guys this. Give us your three best players that in your time in the Steamers, either as a a coach, a player, a viewer.
Shit.
Who's, give us the three.
And I reckon my all-time favourite's probably Aaron Davis. I played all my rugby with Aaron.
Two or three best and fairest. And probably a,
oh, yeah.
Best on ground in the grand final.
Like, he couldn't drink. He was terrible.
That's a common
thing. Terrible.
We've already got Gizmo, and we've got Bridie and a few others.
He was my MC at my wedding, and he couldn't bloody make it. He couldn't talk, but he could play rugby. There's no doubt about that. Second, I'd have to go probably Belly.
Yeah. Big hard hitter.
Yeah, well, he's got the nose for it now.
He didn't. Wouldn't take a backward step.
No, he's pretty good.
Made of stone.
Well, he's got that bloody breeding in him too, like, you know, that Bill breeding that goes right through rugby league and Stanifor side of things. So, you know,
there you go, Stanifor, put a South African blood in him. There he goes.
it's all there. And then my number three, shit. I was debating on a bloke called Wes Grayson or Charlie Kay.
Yeah.
But then I thought, geez, no one's ever mentioned Stewie Nolan.
Oh, hard man.
Yeah. And I picked it, and I don't know, I'd probably have to go Stewie.
Stewie Nolan. All right. There we have it. Andrew Bell.
Aaron Davis.
Yeah. Andrew Bell and Stu Nolan.
Yeah.
Right, eh? You heard it here first.
That'd be my three. But then
are you going to send this podcast up to Stewie?
Oh, Stewie, I'll listen to it.
Maybe you'll get some discount on some jumpers or something.
See his mum and dad a lot. They were beautiful old sponsors of the club for years, not when they had Nolan Brothers. But yeah, look, it's hard to pick bloody three players, mate. I've played with so many good ones.
Oh, it is, but it's a bit of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Can I just say hats off to you two blokes?
Yeah,
no worries. I think it's different. I did my homework, and I think as a president, it's always something you got to keep an eye on, but I'm comfortable with what you're doing, and I think
we sit down and do this on every Friday anyway, so
yeah, look, it's something different
recording,
mate.
It's something.
Well, we do our homework and make sure that we, you know,
you do homework.
Well, I tell Mick what to do, and Mick goes and does the homework, you know.
So we'd be interested in doing one of these down in the training session one night. We definitely want to talk to Red.
Yeah, I think
we might get you to push him in our direction.
Yeah, I don't see any harm.
We might do one at a game, maybe go down to a junior
before session. Mick harps on, we're going to wrap it up here. We just like to thank our major sponsor, the Steamers major sponsor, the Harvest Gold, or the Harvest Group. We'd like to thank Tommy Harrington for his time to have a chat to us. Anything to say before we wrap it up, Mick?
Oh, I had hopes to say, but you shut me down.
So what about you, Mr. Harrington, before you go?
No, let's get into it, boys. Let's have a good year. And if there's any club members out there, get involved. We're always looking for help.
Perfect. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Good on you.